This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast coming to you from Richmond Park, where Bowes have beaten St. Patrick's Athletic by 1-0. The goal coming from a controversially awarded penalty. In the night's other games, Shelburne overcoming Shamrock Rovers 2-1. We'll hear from Ian Morris, who is watching that game. Dundalk losing 2-0 at home to Galway United. Tom O'Connor will join us from Oriel Park, while Waterford got a 4-1 victory away to Drogheda United. We will have reaction from that. We'll also hear from Ballybofey, where it ended Finn Harps 1, Cork City 1, while Cove Ramblers twice came from two goals down to get a 3-all draw against Athlone. UCD losing at home to Treaty United. Keith Tracy, formerly of St. Pat's and the Republic of Ireland, of course. The Bowes fans off to our left in the away end, still singing, and why wouldn't it? This is quite a win for them.
Yeah, so they should. As we said, I think a lot of the Bowes fans, the alarm bells were ringing in their heads, not too sure what they were going to get this season. They got an underwhelming draw against Sligo last week, and we were thinking defensively they would be quite weak, but they were brilliant. You know, Pats, they asked questions of them. I don't think, you know, they asked as many questions as they should. They didn't play in the right areas, but the balls they put into the box with some quality, they just gobbled them up. And even at the end there, when Redmond, the ball drops into the 6-yard box, Flores just throws himself at it, makes sure it doesn't hit the back of the net. So they seem to have that desire, that bit between their teeth. And you see him when Flores scores the penalty straight over to Declan Devine in the Bowes bench. And they seem to be a together group. And sometimes when the off-the-field issues are gathering up momentum against you off the pitch, it's back against the wall and you just come out fighting. And Bowes seem to have done that.
A penalty was the difference. A controversially awarded penalty is how I phrased it in my intro. Is that correct? Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, look, I've seen probably 3 or 4, 5 replays of it now, and I'm still not sure it's a penalty. So for me, it's not a penalty. There has to be some sort of a threshold when you go into the box. I think if that's midfielder on midfielder, the referee lets the play go. The fact that it's the goalkeeper, and it just looked a little bit messy. For me, it wasn't a penalty, Usheen. But I hope Pats and John Daly now don't come out and say that we've lost the game because of a dodgy refereeing decision. That is the case, but you can't control the referee. What you can control is how your team plays within the 90 minutes. And within the 90 minutes, Pats didn't do enough. They huffed and they puffed, but the quality wasn't there. The quality was really, really lacking. Rory Keaton looked isolated at times. So a lot to work on for Pats. I wouldn't dwell on the penalty because, you know, if you're going to let games drift as much as they did at home, there's always the chance that you could get bit in the arse.
We'll talk more about Pats in a moment. But when you win, everything is done right. When you lose, everything has been done wrong. What did Bowes do right tonight?
I thought from minute one, they were really, really tight, really compact. In the first half, they very, very rarely, the back four, they weren't pushing up onto the halfway line. They were, I wouldn't call it a low block, it was a low to mid block. They were sliding in between the two of them. And then the second half, they were standing on the halfway line. They were really condensing the play. They went after Pats a little bit more. But when there was a slight injury or the ball went out of play, the game management was brilliant. Really, really good from them. And I think for a Dublin derby going away to home, I think it's a brilliant performance. You know, obviously, if you're a Bowes fan, you'd like Bowes to come here and play Pats off the park. That's probably unrealistic at the minute. So the only way Bowes were going to come here and win was that type of performance, and they were brilliant.
What did Pats try to do tonight? What could you see that was positive about them?
Well, for me, Mulraney and Keane Levy were playing as inverted wingers, Keaton up through the middle. So it was sort of a box midfield, looked really, really not an awful lot of width. And last season when I was coming here, I thought Pats's width was their real big weapon. Got the ball out wide, isolated people, made things happen. I think they tried to force it through the middle tonight. And as I said, Keaton was isolated at times. If you're going to get it up to the big man, you need people in and around him to help him. So as I said, a lot to work on. It's only the second game of the season, so I wouldn't be overreacting too much either way. But again, not brilliant from Pats, but I think Bowes will be absolutely delighted.
And rightfully so. It was a great victory for them. For Pats, up next, it's Derry City. It's Derry City away. Is that exactly the kind of fixture you want now, or would you rather be back home? What way will they look at it?
I think you have to. Look, it is what it is. They're playing Derry, so you have to take the positives of it. If they go and beat Derry, everybody will say, oh, well, that was just a blip against Bowes, and Pats are back on track. And you look at Bowes played Sligo last week. There's big question marks over them, and everybody's probably thinking the last team you want to play now is Pats. They've come here and got the win. And all of a sudden, the music is a little bit different.
Tonight during the game, though, he did try and change up the formation and he made a few substitutions. Did they react, or is it a case that, you know, it was the first night and sometimes it takes a while to gel? And Bowes, in fairness, They were lucky to get the penalty. They took the chance when it came. They sat deep. They did exactly what they needed to do. Pats couldn't quite break them down. But can you understand why and how important is patience?
Yeah, look, I think it's a little bit of all of the above. I think in the final third, the quality was a little bit lacking. They very, very rarely found the final pass. Chris Forrester was probably a little bit quiet. Keane Levy going off didn't help either. I'm not sure if maybe he has a little bit of a knock. So, again, there's an awful lot to work on. But, you know, there were so many, you know, 10, 15 minute periods in both halves where Pats were just keeping the ball, too many touches, and they were just letting the game drift. So you need to push the tempo. You need to keep the game going and force it. And Pats were just on the back foot for way too long in the game.
Okay, Keith Tracy, thank you very much for joining us here in Richmond Park, where the Bulls fans are still singing following a 1-0 victory against St. Pat's. We'll be going around the grounds in a few moments, but first, let's get reaction from both camps from here in Richmond Park, where St. Pat's lost 1-0 to Bohemians.
Declan Devine, Bohemians manager, that's quite the victory, isn't it?
It's a fantastic one. It's one that I felt we deserved. We sustained a lot of pressure, but we were very good on the transition, the attack. We had 7 or 8 new players on the pitch at one stage or the other during the game, but I thought we showed great resilience and great understanding. We were a bit makeshift. And what a performance from Jordan Flores, going on at left side centre back, one of the most creative midfielders in the league. And to fill that position for us tonight was sensational. He was sensational. And it's very fitting that he got the goal, because tonight our thoughts are with Rob Cornwall as well, because it was a huge loss to us. But a real captain's performance from Jordan. And to be fair, all the lads, everybody that came on had a huge role to play. And I'm absolutely delighted for him.
For all the talk about Bowles' defence, it was probably your strongest asset tonight. They stood firm. They really nullified St. Pat's, didn't they?
We were very good. And as I say, there's a lot of new changes on there. You know, new goalkeeper, new right back. Obviously, Jordan coming out left side centre back. We've had a few setbacks over recent games, and it was a real. Listen, it's a tough place to come and play, but nobody's getting carried away. We've still work to do. It's early on in the season. It's great to come here, keep a clean sheet, and win the game. But really proud of the players tonight, because every one of them has a new group. I think there's 10 or 11 new players on, and every one of them they give everything for the shirt, and that's all we can ask for.
How pleased are you with the business that you got done in the last couple of days in the transfer market? On the face of it, you've signed some really good players to add to an already good squad. That's something that people might forget as well. Like, you actually already had the nucleus of a good squad. Maybe defensively you needed cover, and now you have it.
I think when I came on here, first game, maybe 14, 15 months ago, the turnover of players has been huge, because this is the players that we want. We want players that's going to make us better. We want players that are going to give everything for the club. I'm delighted with the recruitment, and fair play to everybody associated with the club. You know, everybody that works in the office, Pat Fellin, everybody's been working extremely hard. And the one thing I'll say is we're not going to sign anybody. We want the players that's going to make us better. We've got a very good group of young players as well that will make us better this year. But we've got serious competition for places. Once we get the 3 or 4 lads on over the next couple of days, we've got serious competition for places. And as I say, look, our subs are key to us. We can make a number of changes and not weaken the team, and that's something I'm very proud of.
It's 4 points from a possible 6 to open the season. How important is that really positive start to shake off any negativity that may have been around?
Well, negativity, you know, we understand we lost the cup final. We fell away in the last couple of games of last season. But there was great strides made last year to get within 7 points of second place, having more goals, more points than the previous year, having a squad that are gelling and making sure they give everything for the club. So there was great strides. But at the same time, we're nowhere yet. We just have to continue to work hard on a daily basis and understand that, as I say, a lot of new faces, but we have to make sure the DNA of this team is to continue working hard and digging in like we had to dig in in the closing stages of the game and give everything of ourselves for every single game.
Cheers, Declan.
Thank you.
John Daly, St. Pat's manager. Is frustration the word you'd use after that performance?
I think it is frustration. I think, you know, I didn't think there was an awful lot in the game. I thought when we were in the back three, I thought we were very solid, and we've obviously changed it then to try and give ourselves a bit more of an attacking threat. And you know, ultimately it's a mistake, an underhit back pass that gets punished. And I think the type of league that it is this year, if you make mistakes like that, you are going to be punished. And you know, we obviously threw everything at them at the end and just couldn't get the break of the ball, and obviously disappointed. But look, that's football. I think we'll have to bounce back now next week and try and get back again and back to win a ways.
Do you think it was a penalty?
I haven't seen the back, so at the time, you know, it's one of those, I think, when it's for you, you're probably screaming. When it's against you, you're probably thinking it's not. I haven't seen it back, so I'll have a look at it, obviously, and but I can't change it now. It's been given. So I don't know. Anyway, you'd obviously know better than me. You've seen it.
I've seen it back 5-6 times, and I still couldn't say with 100% certainty. No bias here, but I would go on the side if it wasn't. But look, that's just my opinion. And as you say, it doesn't matter. It was given, and that's it. Do you think he could have had a penalty because there was claims?
Again, there was a lot of bodies in there. I think it's difficult for the referees when there's so many bodies in the way, and he has to make a decision that he sees is right. And you know, I'm not going to stand here and criticise decisions and for us getting beat. Obviously, it's another hit back pass that the attacker gets onto the end of that. You know, poses a question for the referee when Marcelo comes out. So no, we're obviously disappointed with it, but I thought we were. Very, very comfortable with it in a back three. I didn't feel like we were going to concede, but you know, that being said, I thought we could have offered more in attack, and that's why we put the extra attacker on to try and give us more of an attacking threat. And you know, obviously at the end of the day, it's backfired because we've conceded and we've lost 1-0.
On the positive side, how good was Kian Levy tonight? He looks a real threat and he's got great ball control, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a very, very good ball carrier. I don't think there's many in the league that are up there with him. I think, you know, he's one of the best in the league at driving forward, and he can carry the ball at serious pace. And it's just then that last little bit now, that if he can add that to his game, that last little pass or the last finish, I think then, you know, you've got an extraordinary talent.
For you, are you hoping that this is just kind of early season jitters, and maybe it takes a game or two to gel and get things together, and hopefully for ye it'll click maybe next week in Derry or the week after in Waterford?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I've said it, I think other managers have said it, I think, you know, it's obviously going to be a very tough league. I think the way the league is, I think everybody's, you know, finally balanced that if you do make mistakes and you get punished, it's going to be difficult to come back from. You just have to look at the other results in the league tonight as well to see that it's going to be a very, very tight, competitive league. And, you know, there's ways to lose games, and I think the boys' effort and commitment in the game was fantastic, and we didn't stop going right till the very end. And you know, it wasn't to be tonight, and hopefully now next week we can bounce back up in Derry with a positive result.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. We're still at Richmond Park, where I'm joined on the pitch by James Clark of Bohemians. What a fantastic victory, James.
Yeah, we're buzzing with it, to be honest. We worked hard all week about how we'd set up against Pats. We know what a good team they are, and we always have good battles with them as well. So we're delighted to come away with the win, which we did really need as well.
How satisfying is it to win a game like this, where you dig in, you stand firm defensively, you take the chance when it comes, and you get a win that maybe those outside don't expect you to get?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's the best win you can get, really, when you're the underdog and when you have to battle, and when, you know, like, they had chances where we had to, like, throw our bodies on the line, and then, you know, Dale got himself in front of the keeper, we won a penalty, and Flores took our chance, and then we held in. And we were really resolute, and it's a great sign, I think, for the season, how resilient we've been, even in the last two games against Sligo last week. I know it wasn't the result we were hoping for, but to go 2-1 down and then to still keep ourselves in the game and come back, it's positive signs at least.
Where does that resilience come from?
I suppose it just comes from the whole group, from the gaffer, from the players. Everyone pushes each other, and like, we know even from last year, like, some results might not have gone our way, but the core of the group is still there, and we did get a lot of late results, a lot of late goals, and I think we still have that, and hopefully with the new lads coming in, we can push on again.
This is a question, not a statement. Is there a bit of a chip on the shoulder, because last year you were so close to having a good season, and even I watched back the cup final during the week, and when you were 2-1 down, you had some chances, and Flores hit the post, and you know, had that gone in, you had other chances as well in the league. You had a great start and kind of faded just a little bit, but it was actually a decent finishing position when you consider the budget and where you were coming from. So are you kind of driven by the fact that there's maybe people talk a bit negatively about you, and maybe that's a bit misguided?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with that at all, to be honest, that it can serve as a motivation for us, that maybe we've been written off at times, and I think it strengthens the team and the team spirit, and we pull closer together, because we know if we work for each other like we did today, we can get the results.
Rob Cornwall last week unfortunately got injured. He'll be out for a long time. that's a big blow, A, and B, what about the lad himself? I imagine as a teammate, you just feel so bad for him.
Yeah, I'm absolutely gut for him, to be honest. It's horrible, really, especially like first game of the season. You won't wish it on anyone. So, everyone here wishes Rob all the best. And we've all said it to him as well since he's been in. Says a lot about him as well that he's been in throughout the week in the gym and all already. Like, so it says a lot about him, and hopefully he'll be back as quick as he can.
He sounds like the kind of guy that even if he's not playing, you want him around the group. You need him around the group.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he is a strong figure in the change room. Like, so in the change room. So yeah, definitely it would be. Yeah.
A few new faces signed and brought in this week, adding to an already good squad. Again, I think people maybe didn't realise how good a squad was kind of staying from last year. That'll add some competition. Some good lads at the back as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of depth in every position now. I know, like, maybe 2 weeks ago we were struggling a bit defensively numbers, but now it's you can fill out two 11s and both really strong 11s who can win any game at any time. Like, so it's definitely really positive and should serve us well because it's a long season, so everyone's going to be needed. So yeah, hopefully the lads who have come in can kick on and spur us on.
And finally, when I say you kind of sat deep and went on the break tonight, that makes it sound like it was a negative game plan, but it wasn't. When you had the ball, you played nice football, you transitioned well, you know, people were getting lots of touches. So, like, there's different ways to play good football, and I would suggest that tonight you did that, and you being in the centre, that you probably like that. Do you like that ability to get on the ball and make things happen? It's not just, right, we have it at the back, let's try and play one over the top and catch them out.
Yeah, no, I think we played to our strengths, to be honest. We're a really good team in transition. Like, you got the likes of Tim Connolly, Dave Rooney, even stand up top and hold the ball up, and then we showed today that we're solid at the back, and like, we can back ourselves defensively, and then offensively with the ball when the space in front of us were really, really dangerous. And I think it suits us. That suited us today. So yeah, it was a good performance anyway.
James, I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us on the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. Right now, let's go from Dalymount Park. Sorry, not Dalymount Park. What am I talking about? It's because you're in front of me here with your Bulls crest, James. Let's go from Richmond Park, where Bulls have beaten St. Pat's by 1-0, to Talca Park. Watching that one for us is Ian Morrison. Afterwards, he sent us this voice note.
Huge 3 points for Shells in an absolutely packed Talca Park tonight. Shells started off like an absolute steam train. They were absolutely brilliant for the opening 30 minutes. Should have been 1-0 up after four minutes. Tyreek Wilson, unfortunately, could not convert the penalty. But Mark Coyle, the skipper, brilliant strike from the edge of the box, put them 1-0 up. And a fantastic finish from Will Jarvis as well to put them 2-0 up. It wasn't until Sean Hoare went off after about 28, 30 minutes for Rovers. And it was really the turning point for them. I thought Graham Burke came on, changed the game, changed how Rovers played. They just couldn't move the ball. They didn't look like the fluid passing team that they were. Nugent and Dara Burns just kept trying to run forward. Same with Gaffney, making forward runs. They just couldn't build up as they normally naturally do. Going in after the break, they came back out. Rovers were brilliant. Totally looked a totally different team. Back to their old self. Scored after 3 minutes and you thought, game on here. And it was a really, really good second half to the game. Shells, though, were resolute in their defending. Thought Barrett, Gannon, Ledwich, Malloy, Wilson, all brilliant as the back five. Cleared everything they needed to. But I think that the big one for both teams were our goalkeepers. Some absolutely world-class saves from both who kept them in the game at times. And then Conor Cairns have pulled off some absolutely super saves to make sure that Shells came away with all 3 points.
This is the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that was Ian Morris watching Shelburne beat Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. Let's go from Talca Park to Oriel Park. Galway with a big win against Dundalk. Extratime.com's Tom O'Connor was there. He was actually on co-commentary with Jonathan Higgins, who is a friend of the podcast. They were live on Galway Bay FM tonight. After the game, Tom sent us this voice note.
It was a game that in truth Galway dominated, took a 2-0 lead early in the first half with goals from Ed McCarthy and Dervin. Second half we thought that Dundalk would have maybe a much more spirited go at Galway. Never really seemed to happen. Brenton Clark was only troubled in the 92nd minute. He made a stretch save from Paul Doyle. It was a game we weren't expecting to watch, as is, John.
No, I have to say, a huge bit of concern for McGaugh United, pure maroon tinted glasses, in terms of the defeat last week was a bit of an eye-opener back into top flight football. The big question mark after that was, where would the goals come? Despite the best efforts, and no other striker was added to them. You had Wasim out injured as well, you had Stephen Walsh suspended. We saw the team sheet, we couldn't see who the strikers were going to be. It turns out it was Carol O'Sullivan. He had a phenomenal performance. Usually weakness him on the flanks, but he played up top and he chased every ball from the first minute. It's probably the most un-Caulfield-like performance, if you want to go on that. They really pressed up high. They played a lot of good football. They created a lot of problems and probably played the game on their terms and deserved their probably two-goal advantage. The second one was a beautiful move. Probably summed up really in situ, really, is Conor McCormack back here in his own stomping ground. He was wired up, shall we say, and he was a warrior performance he put out there. He won the ball high up. United pressed heavily in the Dundalk goal a lot. It came to full flight then on the half an hour mark. He wins the ball high out towards Regan Donlan and puts in a ball, and it's a beautiful header from A. Dervin. And I suppose the big thing really from Galway United perspective is, we talked about Carlos Sullivan, you awarded him a man of the match, he was phenomenal, but aside from him, it was a team from last season, and usually when teams go up they have to invest a lot. It's a huge victory, and maybe apart from a little bit of a scramble at the end, Brendan Clark didn't really have a lot to do. He was still experienced, outstanding, everything you would imagine with a goalkeeper of his performance. But a huge, huge victory here on the road, and probably one of those victories that probably creates a little bit of question marks, oh, moments sort of around, because there's no longer the UCDs, etc. in the league. I think we're in one hell of a battle in the league now, but a wonderful, wonderful night on the road here for Galway United.
I have to echo Jonathan's viewpoints there. We have witnessed one hell of a battle here tonight. I'm not going to echo sentiments that it was a wonderful, wonderful result for Dundalk. But look, many questions for Dundalk to answer following last week's excellent display at Tallaght Stadium. Flip side of it, obviously, like Jonathan said, Galway will be leaving here with the 3 points and haven't got their Premier Division campaign up and running after a very spirited performance at home last week. From me, Tom O'Connor, from Jonathan Higgins at Oriel Park, it is finished Dundalk 0, Galway United 2.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, coming to you from Richmond Park, where Bulls got a big 1-0 win against St. Pat's. Big in the sense that it was a big result as opposed to the margin of victory. Let's get some reaction from Weavers Park, where Drogheda lost 4-1 to Waterford FC. Here is the Blues boss, Keith Long, speaking to LOI TV.
It's a good win tonight in a difficult venue. I spoke to you before the game and how difficult a place this can be. I don't think we started the game particularly well. Drogheda got ahead, but crucially from our point of view, we bounced back quite quickly, got the equalising goal, and then again we went ahead going into the break at half-time, 2-1 up. So second half, we managed the game quite well. We took our chances. We created several opportunities. Maybe could have been a further goal ahead. Podjamond had a great chance, one-on-one with the goalkeeper and narrowly wide of the post. But after that, I think we controlled the game well, took our goals well. Always pleasing to get some goals from set plays. And yeah, I think we come out convincing winners tonight, in a difficult place. So from that point of view, we're very pleased.
Keith Long speaking to LOI TV. As you can imagine, the Drogheda United manager, Kevin Doherty, wasn't overly pleased after the game. His team did go 1-0 up, but then Leahy equalised before O'Keefe put them 2-1 up. Leahy scored again in the second half before Padraig Amond scored his first League of Ireland goal in over 13 years in or around the 71st minute. The Irish Independent tweeted that stat, and Padraig Amond retweeted with "the drought is over" and two crying laughing emojis. His last tweet before that, "this is not a bad flex, is it? On this day in 2019, Newport County won, Manchester City 4 at Rodney Parade. Newport County striker Padraig Amond is congratulated by Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola after scoring in a 4-1 home defeat in the FA Cup fifth round. It's a nice memory for him to have. Not such a nice memory for the Drogheda fans, being beaten 4-1 by the Blues. Afterwards, Kevin Doherty, the Drogheda manager, spoke to LMFM and LOI TV commentator David Sheehan.
Yeah, really disappointed. I said probably for 15, 20 minutes we were like Barcelona, and for the rest of the game we were like the dog and duck. It was so, so disappointing. Genuinely, I thought we were really, really good. Obviously, we get the goal, but then 3 set pieces they score from. That's really, really poor on our behalf. Really, really poor.
Can you put that down to, you know, inexperience? Or not necessarily inexperience, but players that haven't played a huge amount together?
No, I can put it down to players not doing the jobs they were told to do. That's all. I've had a word about it. It's not that I'm trying to kill people or I'm trying to blame or point. If you don't, like, the most obvious thing in the world, if you don't concede those goals, like, we were well in the game, we score a goal, perfectly legitimate goal just before half time. That has since been told, even that, well, I've seen it back. But again, if I start, I'm not going to start blaming officials. But we win there at 2-2. Like, it's, Zissim scores a great goal. After he did, like, I mean, we had to work so hard. The goal we got is exactly what we've been working on all week, and the goal 1-0 up. But defensively, set pieces, really, really poor from us. And look, as I said, we've got to accept that it wasn't good enough from that point of view. Really, really disappointed with the performance. As I said, has been few and far between here over the last few years, but that was certainly one that I'm taking. It's really, really hard to take.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. In the first division, Finn Harps and Cork City played out a 1-1 draw in Ballybofey. Edigan putting Finn Harps 1-1, but then guess who scored for Cork City? That's right, Doherty, already making an impact with 3 goals in 2 games. And there was 2,010 fans at that game in Ballybofey as Finn Harps and Cork City played out a 1-1 draw. Elsewhere, Cove Ramblers drew 3-3 with Athlone. Kerry lost 3-2 at home to Bray Wanderers. And at the Bowl, UCD lost 1-0 to Treaty United. Tomorrow night, Wexford taking on Longford. And in the Premier Division, it is Sligo Rovers against Derry. Both of those games live on LOI TV. If you want to listen to Sligo Rovers against Derry City, well, you have plenty of options. You can listen to it on Ocean FM, you can listen to it on Drive 105, or you can listen to it on BBC Radio Foyle. Now, just before we finish up here from Richmond Park, I want to talk about what happened early in the second half. Both supporters threw flares onto the pitch. One, if not two, hit players. Their reason for protest is perfectly understandable, and protest is important and protest is right. But there is a way to do it, in my opinion. And throwing flares onto a pitch during a football match and hitting players with them, that is not how you protest. I think that is absolutely unacceptable. And I don't think that is a right way to go about things. It delayed the match and it endangered players. And that just quite simply isn't right. Well, that's it from Richmond Park for the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. Thanks for joining us once again. Don't forget, Luke will be along early next week with a deep dive into everything that's happening in the League of Ireland with the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland podcast, in which, as well as League of Ireland matters, they'll also talk about the Republic of Ireland, who got a 0-0 draw away to Italy today and who are playing Wales early next week. So that'll be good to talk about that. As always, I'd love to hear from you through all the usual social media channels. You can get in contact with Extra Time through their email and all their social media channels. All the detail available on extratime.com. And you can get me on at Oisin Langan. That's it for episode 2 of season 2 of the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast from Richmond Park. I will say good night and good luck. Or if you're listening to this in the morning, good morning and good luck. Either way, bye-bye. Take care.